What are you doing then? I mean, what's your option?
Well, that's the point, is that I'm willing to... I'm not saying this is prohibitively bad. It's not keeping me from writing software.
It's a big issue. For example, a couple of months ago, Linus said, I'm just an engineer. Which is the same thing they said about the atomic bomb.
And there's an issue of technological determinism that comes in. People say, you know, well, a technology, you develop a technology and it can only be used for that one thing, right? Or there's this idea of what's the opposite of it? Technological determinism or technological, where you say a tool is a tool. I don't know. There's a philosophical approach to technology. It's in philosophy of technology. People write about it all the time. Where they're talking about this idea that they're...
what if we extend a GPL so that some users will be restricted?
People have done it?
RMS knows about that. I mean, it's the greater good public license.
We've certainly discussed GPL. That one, and there are a lot of licenses like that. Pretty much every week I answer licensing@commune.org, and if any of you have submitted questions there, I'm really sorry, because I don't do it often enough. every time we get, I don't want my software to be used by spammers. I don't want my software to be used by the military. I don't want my software to be used by radical animal rights organizations. I don't want my software to be used,
by anybody but radical animal rights organizations.
And the thing we find is that you end up with this software that's only used by a small group of people. So you don't have the same level of cooperation. You have to, unfortunately, end up with people you really don't like using your software. But the end result is that everyone has this freedom.
And if they're distributing the software, you're benefiting from it too.
I'm not saying that someone should define what is ethical and what is not. You leave that vague, and you let the developers in one part, decide what is ethical and what is not.
You're perfectly willing to do, you're perfectly able to do this, however, we do not consider that to be free software, a license that says you cannot use this for X or for Y or for Z, because it's our belief that freedom requires you to allow that choice, just the same way we sell baseball bats.
I know the argument. I mean, it's not digital freedom since it prevents, a few users.
But
is it ethical or not? I mean, this one...
Is it ethical to disallow the military?
For example, in 30 minutes... There is this nice girl giving a speech about geographical systems and open source. She's developed this system about mapping places with RDF. But it's a nice thing. I mean, I'm not an RSS hacker, but I could see the potential behind her technology. And so many people were, really fascinated by what she did. Then she told me, I'm having this, dilemma that marketers would be extra willing to use my technology for their own commercial purposes. What should I do? License it under the GPL. She did. I'm saying just, a few people.
I have two responses to that. I mean, one is that, it's clear that it's no longer free to do that.
Why?
Under the definitions of, under the free software definition, open source definition, and under the definition of free software, you can't find a free software definition that will let you do it. Because radical non-discrimination, this is part of this line, is non-discrimination. When you start discriminating, you are out here. Because that's part of the ethical commitment, right? I have a little bit of an answer, and I have I'll give you the little pub problem.
It's about in the media. If you are walking the street protesting about something, whatever,
right?
You get hit put in jail.
But here's the other problem, right? Okay, I just came from Italy, right? There's a problem in Italy because the anti-fascists have big, go out and have anti-globalization rallies, right? The fact is, the fascists come to the anti-globalization rallies because they hate globalization because it means they have more immigrants, I'm serious. So they come to these rallies, right? And as long as there aren't too many immigrants at the rallies, they're going to keep coming. So the problem is that you've got, we're anti-fascists, I don't want to be marching next to a fascist. And their problem is that they can't tell who the fascists are because they wear a lot of black. I don't know. Black and red. I don't know. It's a serious problem, and it's a dilemma for these communities, right? And my answer is that if we develop software within highly ethically charged communities, right, in some cases, then it's not perfect, and this isn't a science. But if you let the development of the software be directed by, you know, within these ethical communities will shape the nature of the software in a way that it will be more useful for bringing about good than bad. Maybe that's...
What's your own personal stance?
I would never license anything under the greater good of public license.
But I'm
very politically active. So as a result, I work within, you know, I'm developing a piece, I'm taking Debian right now, and I just started a sub-project to create a Debian project geared specifically for small nonprofits and organizations and grassroots organizations. I'm going to be using free software that will be specifically designed to bring about, you know, by people who are political and want to bring about political change, to bring about political change and help people that are doing this. It's the ethical community is shaping the nature of the software produced, and the fact is that software is going to be a lot less useful to people that want to bomb people than it is to people that want to organize rallies to stop them from bombing.
I do think that you will find political causes which you do not like who are using your software.
Yeah.
But that's okay, maybe they'll send you a patch.
I'm not saying, you know, who says that, you know, people on the you know, far right who are doing grassroots organizing in a similar way won't be able to use this? Maybe they probably will. And I'm willing to take that risk because maybe we'll get better software as a result, exactly.
Good. A really good example of this is Jamie McCarthy, who I don't know if he still does, used to write for Slashdot, has an article on his website about how fascists of various types are using the internet, but how in the end, the internet is going to make available more information and end up being a good.
Right. Because sure, you can publish, you know, Holocaust revisionism. You know, the Holocaust never happened. You know, you can publish it on the internet. The fact is, when you Google for something, when you find it, there's a whole lot more. When you Google for the Holocaust, the first, you know, if you're not going to be, you'll get more truth than not. I don't know.
This is quite optimistic view in some way.
Yeah.
It's always
I don't know. Well, I'm an optimistic person, sure. I'm being an optimist on the question about problems. Anyway, there are real fears of co-optation, and I think those are valid. And I think that for less optimistic people, it can actually keep them from working, and they go adopt, you know, non-free licenses. And they work outside of it, because the fact is, I will refuse to develop anything that could be used by the military. Oh, the other issue is that there are issues of enforcement. Because, you know, sure, you can't develop a software if you're violating human rights, says who? You know? Okay, fine, Universal Declaration of Human Rights, like, that's easily applicable. You know, who gets to decide? The UN? Like, the UN makes decisions without, influenced by lots of other pressures. Come on.
I remember when I was in the army, they were using PKZip on their computer, and the license was saying explicitly, it is forbidden for any military organization to use PKZip. And I was just thinking, I was looking at that, and I was wondering, who is going to see that? And I used to tell the military people,
you have seen that.
Tell me, do you have a problem using this software? Oh, it's a good software, no problem.
It's the same, exactly the same problem with when you put laws against gangsters. For example, you say cryptography is forbidden because it will help terrorists doing the hiding stuff.
Right.
But terrorists don't respect the law by definition, so it doesn't right. serve anything.
Right. So I mean that's more of a pragmatic argument, but I think it's still a valid point.
People are going to do it. People will do.
Right. So, so
that's the same way you can defend arms. Because one is to say, if you make cryptography illegal, only illegal people will have cryptography. This is the statement. But you can say also, if you make arms illegal, but I prefer only illegal people will have arms.
Yeah.
But in some way, I prefer that cryptography is not the same as arms. So things that do not apply right. on the same. You mean you see? I love this sentence when I read it. Yes, that's why I'm for cryptography. But if you put it with arms, it becomes
I just remember that crypto was forbidden as being an ammunition
Yeah, it was. Crypto was strong crypto was the reason it was you couldn't export it was because it was a weapon. Or ammunition.
Ammunition.
Yeah.
I've been working for the DAP.
Okay. Anyway, this idea that these systems of trust, and then my answer is, well, systems of trust and ethical cultivation can create environments where these feelings are minimized to like Debian, non-profit, that kind of thing. And it's a very clear case. I'm developing a piece of software specifically for use by non-profit organizations and grassroots organizing. So it should be clear that it's not going to be something that's going to be really useful to, I don't know, military or hardcore capitalists, who knows. But you know, for a web server or something, it becomes a little bit more murky. It's something that really has a lot of use. So, but I think that even for a web server, that can take a role. I remember, I don't know, if some of these technology studies things, people have done things, they've looked at a couch, right? Like a sofa. And they said, okay, why are there different seats? Why not just one big seat? Because Victorians in England wanted their personal space. So you have a system that they developed, you know, because you go to Japan and you have long futons, one long seat, right? So you've created, but the system actually enforces, because people that sit on sofas with three seats are in their community that they treat personal space as something that's something, you know, normal, individual cushions, you know, individual. I value personal space. I don't want to be as close to people. You know, it has real influences in society. The technical decisions, even for something as simple as designing a couch, you know, designing a sofa, designing a web server can be designed with, you know, it will be shaped by and shaped. Come in, yeah. It will be shaped by and it will shape the ethical communities, the larger ethical communities. Okay. Anyway, I'll try to finish up since I'm almost done. For communities with specific goals, the effectiveness within this heterogeneous political community can come at the price of a clarity of message. And this is the idea that if I'm developing a piece of software because it's, you know, anti-capitalist, right? That if it's developed in a way that there are people that are non-anti-capitalists that are working with me, my anti-capitalist message is going to be not as loud. If you're developing it because this software, this is the free software example, right? If you're developing free software because it's about freedom, and someone else can pick it up and de-emphasize freedom, and they happen to be widely successful in doing so, it can make people feel upset, which is at the very least. I mean, there are a lot of people who are, you know, upset about the fact that, you know, it's Linux and not new Linux to a whole lot of people. And that's a problem. And then finally, those working with let me read this again.
Those are the political approaches.
Sometimes for people, the idea is this can be prohibited. Sometimes sometimes it will make people choose a greater good license. Sometimes it will make them not develop it at all. You know, I'd rather do nothing than build software that will be used for bombs. I don't know. I mean, this is a real position. Okay. Last slide. Okay. Just some final things here. So I talked about this before. I didn't talk very much about what broadly defined freedom means, but I think that we touched on ideas of radical non-discrimination, free use and reuse, modifications. I mean, the free software definition. Yeah. And in part, I'm assuming that most of us know it, if we're practitioners or at least familiar with it. And then I talked about the fact that the work in the Libre software communities actually affects work outside of the communities, which I talked about earlier as well. And as a consequence, I'm not arguing that all labor need be volunteer or institutional independent. So the idea is, let's say, and the example is, of course, let's say we're talking about medical industry. Maybe if you have a space for institutionally independent, volunteer medical labor, you know? If you can work, and if every doctor, in order to keep their license, had to, fly to, you know, set up a, you know, every 10 years, had to spend a year, I don't know, setting up a community hospital somewhere else, free of a lot of these, you know, things in a volunteer way, I think it would really affect the medical. I mean, maybe that's a bad idea and it's unrealistic for a number of reasons, but But I think that something along there, if there's a space for the cultivation of ethics, if there's trust within these communities, if there's volunteer labor, and if there's institutional independence, even if it's not 100% of the time, it will affect 100% of the thing. Maybe not if everything becomes, you know, the Libre software version of medicine, but it will make it, it will get us somewhere. And it will allow for ethics to be cultivated and applied through practice. It will lead to a particular type of, you know, and this is the connection between the ethics and the politics as well. And then it will allow people who have strong political stances to, you know, attempt to tie these to their ethics and view the software as well.
So. Have you noticed that in France, maybe I'm wrong, there is quite a strong free software, Libre software community?
Yeah.
Though we are quite not that numerous and so on, but we were gifted for coding. I mean, French coder sucks. No, excuse me. The truth is that, in France we've got a stuff that is called Law 1901, which is made for association, and it's very easy to make non-profit organization.
Mm,
and
cool.
We have a really strong network of organization. And on the same side, we've got a strong involvement in Libre software. Like Linux user group,
right? So you're saying it goes the other direction as well. That having systems, that having a society that values things like institutional independence and volunteer labor will actually create more vital. The society itself can influence the nature of how you choose to write software or use software, or how you choose to practice medicine. Maybe no.
Yeah, sure.
I see no reason.
I mean that if you're right, that could explain the reason why there is that could explain the connection between both of these.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's the way I approach culture and society, as not, you know, causal relationship. This causes this, but that is very dynamic. You know, that it's society, that ethics, that values come play with practice, and that they influence practice as much as practice influences them. Yeah,
absolutely. As a conclusion, we may have a new spot for free software, for Libre software, that should be Ireland, giving a lot of money when there is a problem across the world because of the famine of the potato.
Oh, okay.
So, since this time, they are always helpful to other people.
Hmm.
So maybe we could try to promote Libre software in Ireland.
Well, there are some people, I know there are a number of people that are very high profile in studying Libre software who are from Dublin as well. So I don't know what the community is like, but I do know that there's an active kind of like free software studies is actually quite big in Ireland. I mean, relative to the size of the population. So, well, then again, I'm also, since I read mostly English things, you know, I get a disproportionately large amount of, you know, Australians and people from the UK, people from Ireland, and, you know, Canada. I don't know, am I missing any other English-speaking countries?
Speaking in English-speaking country, India?
To some extent, yeah. So I don't know, if people have questions or things or want to go back.
It's not, the problem with diversity. I don't think that the diversity is a problem. The problem is more in the freedom itself.
Mm-hmm.
If there is no diversity, there is no choice, and freedom has.
Are you talking about diversity of philosophies or diversity of.
Any diversity.
Okay.
Any diversity. No diversity, no choice, and freedom is not used.
There is no choice but no freedom.
Right, right.
The real problem is in the freedom itself. I think if I...
So you have the freedom to read anything you want, but you can only buy government books.
The profile of eating one or two pieces of sugar and use a coffee tomorrow, what does this freedom become if I use my freedom of the killing him today? the freedom of someone on this bond is the freedom of others.
Right.
And when you speak about the freedom of using, you say anyone can use software.
Right.
Anyone can copy software. It's the freedom of anyone. It's the freedom of the collectivity.
And we're getting into.
I think Libre software is. Is a collective freedom.
Right.
Is a collective of community, the community is no bomb.
Right.
But there is a freedom of individual and about the group who don't want to give his freedom to the community.
Mm-hmm.
So there must be a problem.
Well, I think that there are two issues, because there's I mean, in discussing this idea of freedom and ethics, I mean, because there's a philosophical way of coming at it, of answering the question, and there are, you know, there's an, you know, several new versions of that every year, and there's several that are high profile that have been written for the last, you know, one or two a century, I don't know, people to come around and answer this question, and I've read some of it, and you know, I think some of it's more interesting than others, but that's not the way. I've tried to stay away from that, right? Because I don't want to tie this to a particular philosophy. What I'm doing is I'm looking at the concept of ethics, not as a philosopher, but as an anthropologist, as someone, or as a sociologist, someone who's looking at ethics as the product of communities, exactly, you know, of people working together and looking at it as something that is developed by communities to represent, I don't know, something that they, you know, things that they believe, things that they are able to hold in common. And their philosophical basis for that, you know? And I think that, and so it doesn't really matter why killing someone is not exercising your freedom and, you know, but using the sugar is. It doesn't, you know, having a philosophical argument for why that is the case is something that I'm going to leave up to someone else. What's important to me is that the society has come to that conclusion. I mean, that's a way of not answering your question. Hopefully it's a valid one.
I think there is two problems which would perhaps be studied separately.
Mm-hmm.
The freedom as a community freedom,
right,
which is the free software with a very theoretical point of view,
right,
which is something very 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 strong, and the fact that the free software community is in a world which is not free,
right.
Is not at all, and has to do I think. Do it again. Manage with it. Yes. So manage with it. And freedom with collectivity as is law, and the freedom of the diversity. The different communities, and it's the other side. I think it's the freedom with the individuals who has their solution. Anyone
right.
has his solution, and it's not the perfect free support or free community, which is a collective problem. Melting the two point of view maybe a problem for later.
I don't know. I mean, it's certainly not, I mean, it's not, I don't think it's a problem that I'm capable of taking right now. But it is a good point. It's a good question. I don't know, if there's anyone else with a question, maybe we could go to we should take some break, yeah?
A bit question.
Okay.
I'm going to take a break because I've got to grab people for George's conference that will
right.
begin in 5 minutes.
Yeah, for 10 minutes. We should give him a little bit of time.
Yeah, we're going to give him a little time. So we're going to begin George Affirmo's conference and then we're going to get other people.
Okay, all right, so...
No, you can stay.
If anyone has another question, there's a burning to answer.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
That's what we should. What do you think about...
Go ahead. Maybe I just had a question. Did you enjoy the Benjamin talk?
You're not asking in front of me. That's right, you're supposed to make me leave first.
Yes, but...
Of course they all loved it. I thought it was great.
Okay. Okay, I'm going to grab the other one. Maybe you should take a break if you want to go to the second one.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, if you want to take a break or grab some water or something, go ahead.
Speaking of a web of trust, if anyone wants to exchange...
Oh, okay, two things, yes. Quickly.
Yeah, ask me a question, but I have... One thing quickly, if you notice in fact we're much more like workshop and real conference, but everybody's welcome. We always have a good talk at the beginning and a presentation in normal way. And if ever you want to know where we are, because we are mainly together, you just give me a phone call.
So we'll do this after we finish the question.
Yes, yes, but it's only.
Okay, so yeah, do you want to, what was your question?
Well, my question is, what do you think about this idea of freedom to apply inside IT, for instance, in other fields, like fields of genetic modification?
Sure, I think it's perfect. I think that if scientists,
what is the idea I have behind, for instance, software can be proprietary and become free, and eventually can be free and become proprietary, except...
What I wanted to do is, I think that it happens already. The fact is, there are examples of there was an ethnographic study of people working at Los Alamos Nuclear Laboratory in New Mexico, in the States. The people who came in being very critical of nuclear technology. And they came in, and then they decided... And then they were like, I don't know how I feel about this. But as they stayed there, within that organization, they began to say, no, we're actually creating things that's making the world a safer place because we're creating weapons that are going to make the world a safer place because it's going to, create this non-proliferation because of, mutually assured destruction. Well, if we're all going to kill each other, the more we can kill each other, the less we're likely to do it. But the thing is that within these communities, because there was this real ethics defending the use of these things, or not the use, but the creation of this within the community. Now, I don't want to change that. I just want to have it bigger than the lab, because the fact is the people in the lab weren't talking to physicists at other places. And if there was a system for larger networks of trust, if there was a system for, I feel like maybe if they were talking to people who weren't trying to justify and rationalize their own participation on building weapons that can kill millions and millions, billions of people, perhaps they would be more critical about them. I think that's, I'm optimistic in that way. I don't know.
But what are the ways, I'm not talking about weapons. I'm talking some of...
But genetically modified foods or something.
For instance, places where you need, maybe you're not, of course nobody is doing that to kill, but you have some precaution.
Right, well, it's interesting. I'm not sure...
What about precaution when you push freedom, and freedom to do anything and to copy anything?
Yeah.
And in places where probably if you push some modified organism, you won't be able to take it off.
I'm thinking that maybe the cultivation of ethics within scientist communities that aren't necessarily doing things... I'm not saying that it has to be the same idea of probably defined freedom. So it doesn't have to be that this is the central aspect of everything, but that this model for the cultivation of ethics through volunteer labor, through maybe people would be more critical about the Green Revolution if they went to India and saw it actually happen. I mean, maybe people would be more critical about the use of super agro giant farms if they went to places where farmers were working. The fact is when you're sitting in an office in somewhere else, when you're not networking there, when you're getting paid a lot so that you don't think about it, it's less likely to happen. Okay, do you want to?
It was just a comment about free software and capitalism.
Uh-huh.
I would have choose the word capitalism, because for me capitalism is for a company getting more and more capital and bigger and bigger.
Uh-huh.
And for me, free software is about is that would be about sharing software,
right?
Or letting software and different pieces of software compete and push for
market competition instead
of
capitalism. Okay, I was using the terms interchangeably.
Right,
you're right.
That's our economy is based on that, free competition, rather than.
And I was referencing early capitalist theory, which is market competition,
right.
And I was using the terms interchangeably. That's a good critique. I'll change that in the next. Okay. Okay, cool.